Hello and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilies. The immigration status of employees is high on the agenda at the moment. It hit the press recently with immigration raids at various branches of Bayer and hamburger restaurants. And of course, the outcome of the Brexit vote to leave the EU has thrown the issue into sharp focus. But as an employer, what do you do if you have an employee who no longer has the right to work in the UK or an employee's immigration permission is due to expire? Employers will no doubt be aware of the potential penalties for employing workers illegally. But does this mean you can just go ahead and dismiss? What are the employment law implications? Well, with me to discuss these issues is Senior Employment Law Editor Cleo Springer. It's serious if this happens, isn't it? An employer can't just ignore it. As I mentioned, there are penalties for employing workers illegally.
Well, that's right, Laura. It's a criminal offence to employ a person knowing that they're disqualified from employment because of their immigration status. In fact, the potential for criminal liability was broadened in July to include situations where the employer has reasonable cause to believe that the person is disqualified.
And steep penalties.
Well, yes, potentially there's an unlimited fine and responsible individuals can incur a prison sentence.
And civil penalties also?
Yes, there's potential for civil penalties for employers. There's fines of up to £20,000 per illegal worker.
Clearly an employer has to do something about it if it finds that an employee no longer has the right to work in the UK. But firstly, can you just talk us through what type of situation could result in an employee losing the right to work in the UK?
Well, an employee can lose the right to work in the UK for a number of reasons. So, for example, the original immigration permission might have expired or be about to expire. Or the employee or employer might have breached the employee's immigration permission, so the permission is then revoked.
Okay, and how could that happen, for example?
Well, it could be where the employer recruits and sponsors someone under Tier 2 of the points-based system for a particular role, but then moves them to something different, or where a foreign student works more hours than they're allowed to.
Okay, and are there any other reasons why they might lose their right to work?
Well, an employer might lose its licence to sponsor workers under Tier 2.
And a cheapy situation might also have an impact here.
Well, yes, if there's a transfer of a business and say the old employer has a sponsor licence but the new one doesn't, the employees will have only 60 days before leave to remain in the UK is curtailed unless the new employer, that's the transferee, applies for a sponsor licence within 20 days of the transfer. So this is another example of where someone might lose the right to work in the UK.
And presumably you could have a situation where an employer discovers that someone who works for it simply doesn't have the right to work.
Well, yes, you might realise that the proper checks weren't carried out.
OK, well, we'll be coming on to carrying out the proper checks in a moment.
OK, so you've got the proper checks, say, if they've not been carried out when the person was recruited. Perhaps the employer didn't have proper recruitment procedures in place at the time when that person started, or someone in the organisation didn't follow them properly, or the person might have provided false documentation.
OK, well, we mentioned cheapy just now, but you might have a situation where you've acquired staff, but you've later found out that they don't have the right to work.
Well, yes, as a transferee employer, you have 60 days to carry out right to work checks. You can't rely on the fact that the previous employer should have carried out those checks. So you need to do something about it if you find this out post-CHUPI that you've got employees who don't have the right to work.
Sure. And of course, this really should be part of your due diligence when you're negotiating the transfer in the first place. Going back to the right to work checks, can you say a bit about that?
Well, this is all part of making sure that you're not in a position where someone is working for you illegally. So you have to check documents of all recruits to make sure they have the right to work and carry out ongoing checks when someone's right to work is time limited.
And there's a list of documents that are accepted, is that right?
Yes, and we have information on Expert HR about that. And I should also say that carrying out proper checks may provide a statutory excuse against a civil penalty that I mentioned earlier. So employers should use the document checks to identify any restrictions and conditions on employees' right to work and use this information to monitor the situation and be prepared in advance of permission's ending so that they can deal with it in good time.
Okay, so let's say we're in a situation where someone's permission is expiring or it's already expired. Presumably, because it would be illegal for the employee to work, the employer would just dismiss them.
Well, you might expect this, but employers do need to be careful not to take a knee-jerk reaction, so we do need to factor in employment law rights as well.
And that's unfair dismissal rights that might apply.
Well, yes, there's the usual rules, of course, on qualifying service, but an employee who's dismissed because the employer is concerned about illegal working could bring a claim, so you still need to be able to show that there's a fair reason for dismissal.
And might an employer be able to rely on the statutory ban? So it's fair to dismiss if continued employment would breach a statutory duty or restriction?
Well, case law has shown that an employer that relies on a statutory ban as a reason for dismissal because it believes the employee doesn't have the right to work in the UK may be vulnerable to unfair dismissal. It's much safer to be able to show, based on an investigation, that the employee doesn't have the right to work before relying on this.
But if you weren't in that position, would there be any alternative defence available to an employer?
Well, instead, the employer might use some other substantial reason as a potentially fair reason for dismissal based on its reasonable belief that the employee doesn't have a right to work.
But irrespective, it still needs to have that reasonable belief.
Well, yes, and this goes down to the employer investigating the situation properly. So if you have an employee who you believe doesn't or won't have the right to work, you need to investigate it properly. Find out, has the employee applied for an extension of the permission or a new immigration permission? Is there any evidence? Talk to the employee. Are there alternatives to dismissal?
Such as?
Well, for example, continued employment via another immigration category. So you need to establish the facts.
Right, OK. And as we were discussing earlier, clearly it's going to be easier to do this and there'll be more time if you've carried out the proper checks in the first place. So, you know, you've monitored any time restricted right to work and you've factored in time to carry out your investigation earlier.
Yes, I should also say that as well as not unfairly dismissing, employers need to take care not to discriminate because of race. So you shouldn't make assumptions about an employee's immigration status because of their race.
Yes, and in fact, investigating properly also helps you here, doesn't it? Because you'll be in a better position to defend a case of race discrimination. Yeah, you'd be able to show the genuine reasons for dismissal are that continuing to employ would be unlawful rather than just a suspicion that it would be unlawful.
Well, that's right. So as we've said, you need a proper investigation of the facts about the person's immigration status and the options available.
OK, so is there anything else employers should be aware of?
Well, it is worth mentioning the 28-day grace period.
Yeah, and what is that?
Well, this is where an employer is reasonably satisfied that the person has applied for an extension of their immigration permission or a new permission or an administrative or judicial review of a decision. Well, then there's a 28-day grace period where the statutory excuse is extended.
Okay, so it then wouldn't be illegal to continue to employ them?
Well, that's right. So you should use this period to continue your investigations into the options that are alternatives to dismissal. The employer should document its reasons for being reasonably satisfied that the employee has made that application, though.
Okay, and that would be, for example, notes of any meeting that you'd had with the employee and any evidence of the application itself.
That's right. And another thing to flag up is that the employer should also use the online Home Office employer checking service.
Right, so what's that service then?
Well, this can be used, for example, when the employee is unable to provide documents about the right to work, so where their current permission's expired and a new application's been made. So if the employee has the right to work, the employer will receive a positive verification notice, which will state the length of its validity, and this might provide an extension of time.
So this extension period would give the employer another window of time to carry out its investigation, you know, as to whether it in fact needs to terminate once that extension and the grace period are finished.
Well, that's right.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Cleo. Clearly there are some key issues and practical points for employers to take on board here, and to help with this, we have recently published a how-to guide on the topic, which you can find in the tools section of the site. So that brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Laura Merrilees. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.